Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, I am Glenn the Geek, on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, in a normal chair. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 3rd, 2011, episode 89, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse world. Absolutely a beautiful day here. You guys are not going to believe this. Yesterday, I was in a t-shirt. It got all the way up to 80 degrees and sunny, so I had to bust out the 50-sunblock again and slather it all over. What did you guys see?
We actually were kind of nice yesterday. We got into the 50s, and today it's supposed to be 55 and sunny, so we're happy here. This is like, same thing, break out the t-shirts, but no sunblock. When you know it's 55, you really don't need the sunblock. But you know what? You know, it's so funny because when you're coming out of winter, 55 seems so doggone beautiful. And in the middle of summer, 55, you're freezing your butt off. But it's, well, right now it's just beautiful. And, you know, as you know, because you lived here, we're coming up to one of the most beautiful couple months ever in history in Kentucky. Spring in Kentucky is just absolutely gorgeous. The grass turns that bright green, sort of bluish color, and it just is beautiful here in the spring.
Oh, there's no place better than Lexington in the spring, especially, I mean, I know that you guys right now are probably suffering through a lot of rain, but that rain that you guys get sets you up for the rest of the summer. So it is just, I'm so excited to come to Rolex. I get to be there. I think I got a post yesterday that 54 days till the first horse enters the arena for dressage on day one of Rolex.
And you for the first time are going to have press passes. You're going to be special this year, and we're going to be, of course, doing our live shows from Rolex. We're going to be recording all 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. We're actually going to have Horses in the Morning over the weekend, that weekend too.
Live.
And we'll be coming live from Rolex. You'll be able to call in and chat with our guests. It's going to be fun.
And don't think for a second, Glenn, that I am not going to walk around like Wayne and Garth with my press pass held up, like, coming through, excuse me, backstage passes, coming through, excuse me. I mean, that is going to be me the entire weekend of Rolex. Yeah, look at me. I'm a big deal. And they're going to be like, who are you? And I'm going to say, they're going to be like, you can't come in here. This is not for you. However, I will look like a big deal when I'm walking cross-country course. I'm so excited.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. And we'll make sure you have your little flip camera doing little videos the whole time. We'll be posting a bunch of little videos. I'm sure Jamie and I will get that accomplished that weekend. It's just going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to make you jump the water jump, go through the head of the lake. I think that would be a great idea.
My saddle on and my bridle.
Hey, I don't want to know what you have at your house. I don't need to know. Speaking of eventing, I'm going to have like the most awesome eventing weekend ever, ever, ever. I'm so excited because I have never seen him before in a teaching setting. I've read all his books. He's my eventing guru, and I am going to go audit in a clinic with Jimmy Wofford this weekend. I am so excited. He's here in Arizona, and my girlfriends and I are going to go camp out and audit the clinic.
And so you're auditing, you're not riding, right?
Well, if I had a second mortgage that I could afford and a non-lame horse, then then I would be going out there and riding in it. However, my horse can't jump, and it's pretty pricey. So unfortunately, I will be auditing this time.
So, Jimmy, is he going to be herding buffalo or not so much?
How dare you? How dare you? Jimmy Wofford is like the greatest eventing guy. I just love his books, and I did meet him one time. However, that didn't go so well.
Oh,
so
that's right. You talked about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I do.
Didn't you talk about that on the show one time? I don't remember why, but because you that's a few thousand stories ago. But I don't remember why. But you met him once or something.
I did. It's pretty embarrassing. I was applying for a job with Denny Emerson, and I was down at the Fox Hall Cup in Georgia. And I'm walking around, and I'm supposed to meet Denny on course, but the course is like 3 miles long. So I'm walking around with my stupid resume in my hand, like a nerd, walking around like, I'm like, looking for Denny Emerson. Yeah, like feeling like a complete idiot. And who turns around but Jimmy Wofford is standing right there, and he's like, clearly I look confused. And I said, hi, it's Jimmy Wofford right in front of me. I'm like freaking out. I go, do you know where I can find Denny Emerson? And he looks at the piece of paper and he looks at me and he goes, that's not a paternity suit, is it? I was like, no. it's a resume. Yeah. So,
that's right. I remember that now.
Jenny and Jimmy have a long history of giving each other a hard time. So I should have run screaming right then. However, I didn't, and I did get hired. So it was just one of those, oh, my God, my hero did not just say that to me. Oh, my God, my hero did not just say that to me. Oh, he did. Oh, God, what do I say? So I'm going to quietly sit on the sidelines and watch a clinic this weekend and try not to talk.
You're not going to bring any papers with you either, are you?
Heck no. If he looks at me, I'm going to look the other way. Just look down. Just look down. Pretend you're not here. Pretend you're not here. Oh, boy. So whatever. Do you guys have anything exciting?
You know what? We have a lot of work to get done this weekend. We're having a special meeting next weekend here in Lexington. So top secret meeting here in Lexington next weekend. And we happen to be running it, so I have a lot of preparation to do for that, and we're excited about everybody that's coming in, and we have to get ready for that. So we're going to be working on that this weekend. And, you know, on Sundays now, we actually help our friend out that has our horse over there at the boarding stable. We do the boarding stable for her on Sunday mornings. And, you know, I've been thoroughly enjoying that. Last weekend we went out, and we got done in about an hour, and I went, oh, geez, I wish she had more work for us because I wasn't
Don't
done
say
yet.
That.
I want to go home.
Well, you didn't know it yet, but actually, we've been kind of planning a work day for you on Sunday.
Oh no, I didn't know that. I wasn't told.
Involves crowbars, fence rails. Yeah.
Oh, we're doing more fencing on Sunday.
Yeah. We'll have to get the trails ready. Trail preparations.
Oh, trail preparations. Ah, gotcha.
We have to remove
the okay,
fencing,
so I take back everything I just said. An hour was great. It was so perfect. It was just the right amount of time.
Be careful what you wish for.
Jennifer, what's coming up today?
On today's show, we will be enjoying a lively update on the goings-on in Norco, California, from our gal Lisa and the Horse Radio Network's unofficial adopted town. That's Norco, California. Next up is our reoccurring party time with Horse Girl TV's Angela Walkup. She's got some really interesting stuff on her most recent trip and technology for the horse world. And we have plenty of off-the-wall news stories to encourage quips and comments from our Facebookers and callers.
Okay, wow. That sounds exciting. I can't wait. Oh, wait a minute. We're the ones that have to do it, aren't we? Hey, there's a lot of news we didn't get to yesterday, Jamie. One of the things I wanted to say was kind of on the, you know, I am the one, of course, on the show that has to try and keep it cultured and try and keep some sense of sophistication on the show. So,
oh, really?
Because, you know, obviously nobody else picks up that ball and runs with it. So
sure.
I wanted to report that for the first time in 39 years, there'll be live horses on the West End stage for the first time in 39 years in London. They're actually They're actually they're bringing a team of 3-quarter horses and a Lusitano from the Paris-based Zinger Equestrian Theater, and they'll star in The Centaur and the Animal, which is a play that's going to be there in London, but it's going to be the first time in 39 years that they've had horses on the stage. So that's, you know, I just thought that was kind of cool.
You're so fancy. I mean, you're bringing the class. Zingara, a little big guy. You can't even say it. Yeah, we're really, you know, break out the tea and crumpets. Glenn's got a story.
Okay, so what do you have that's more cultured than that? Horses on the stage.
I want to do a Daily Winnie.
Oh, okay. Well, we can probably handle that. If you really want to.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Sameeko K because she is, I swear that woman is on the internet all the time and finds every story and the most random stuff, and she always posts it on her Facebook. She found a Hackney that is up for adoption in Iowa. And Sameeko, I don't need any more competition finding my Hackney a home, so if you could just post my Hackney up there. That would be great. Actually,
Hackney was
tell
cute,
you,
though. I looked at it. What's cute?
Oh, I know, but it's a stallion and it's unbroke. And mine leads and loads and does all this cool stuff. So I would like to tell you that I might have found him a home. Fingers crossed.
Oh, really? Good. Good. Really, is he going to be like pulling plows or?
He's going to be a little driving pony. It's this woman in my neighborhood that drives her minis all the time. I see her all the time. She answered my ad. And I saw her driving around yesterday, and I said, hey, I stopped by truck. I'm like, are you the one that's been emailing me? She's like, yes. Oh, my God. So she came over. She saw him twice yesterday. She's really interested. And I think it'd be a great home. He'd stay in the neighborhood, and he'd be trained to drive. Yay.
Cool. Well, if you're going to do a daily video. Mine goes out to Leilani, I don't know how to say her last name, but she knows who she is. She wrote on our page yesterday, oh my goodness, you guys, I am at work listening to the Dan Roberts episode, which was our special Monday musical episode, and had to go through a whole box of Kleenex. Well, we're glad you enjoyed that. If you haven't listened to Monday's show, go back and take a listen to it. I think that you're going to need some Kleenex at the end, too. Between Dan and Jamie blubbering away at the end, it's tough to get through that whole show. It's sort of like watching an episode of Extreme Home Makeover. Oh, man,
yeah.
First of all, we've determined we cannot be eating dinner when watching Extreme Home Makeover because you can't cry and eat at the same time. So you have to wait till after dinner to watch it. Yeah, I know. You can't, exactly right. So we have to wait, and you have to be in the mood for crying because, you know, every episode of that show, you're going to be crying. It just, that's the way. Did you watch last week's with the military guy?
Oh, no. See, the Army guy. No. There is a very few times I can sit down and watch that show, and it has to be because I need a good cry. Women, sometimes we just need a good cry, and it can be cathartic to sit down on a Sunday night and just, it's like exfoliating your whole weekend out of your sinus cavity.
Oh, well, we certainly do enough of that when we're watching it.
I know. Hey, I got a news story for you, and this is not going to surprise you at all, because knowing this study wasn't even done in America. This study was done over in England, and 500 horse owners were sent questionnaires about their horse's weight, and they were asked about their perceptions of their horse's body condition with a score of 3 or more indicating that the horse was overweight. All these horses were on grass and hay and concentrate feed with some variation in between. And 1 out of every 5, they said, was overweight. So these owners sent back and said, oh, yeah, 1 out of every 5 is overweight. Well, then they went out and checked. And the researchers...
Oh, let me guess. 3 out of every 5 was overweight, actually, for real.
54% of all the horses were obese. And it's like the plague in kids' schools today. You know, they're always working on childhood obesity. We need to work on our horsehood obesity because, oh my gosh, 54% of the horses were obese. We're not talking a little on the heavy side, like my maybe my warm blood. We're talking obese, like the Morgan horse I went to look at the other day where you couldn't see his ribs. And I was like pushing into his sides and like moving my hand back along the side. Nothing. Couldn't feel a rib if you gave me $100. So,
yeah. Baby's bottom.
Obesity is a problem in horses just like in humans. And I would love to see the like as far as the owners go, how much the owners look like their horses. You know what I mean?
Well, and their dogs. Those same owners will have dogs that are fat too, won't they? I mean, that's true. It just seems to be a family thing. Now, I can't talk much because I'm not exactly in the best of shape right now. But because of Jennifer, we always kept our horse in shape and our dog in shape. Our horse has to wear a muzzle starting the first day a blade of grass comes up to the last day the blade of grass dies. So pretty much there are 2 months out of the year he can be out without his muzzle, but he just gets fat on air. So
Jennifer, does Jennifer keep a muzzle on you?
She would like to. She would like to, for sure.
I tried, but he chewed through it.
Hey, picking on me. There are good things about husbands. And I'll tell you the good things about husbands. I found this list. I had so much fun with that list yesterday because I came out so superior and above average that I found another one. It's the good things about husbands as opposed to horses. So this is why we are better than horses. Are you ready?
Husbands I'm ready.
We're less expensive the shoe. And that's true because I don't buy many shoes. And so, the problem with ours is he doesn't wear shoes. So we're probably about even there. Kind of barefoot.
Can I have him, please? I'll trade you one.
Beating a husband doesn't require anything that even mildly compares to the hassle of putting up hay. And that is especially true in our household because I do the cooking.
Wait a minute. I beg to differ.
Yeah.
There are occasions. This week, there was a special request. Jennifer, can you please make sticky buns this weekend? That's almost as hard as putting up a ton of hay.
Well,
I'm not going to be... Yeah, exactly, Jennifer. But you know what? I cook dinner every night, and I would much rather put up hay. I'm sorry. I did a crock pot meal yesterday. It took me like 8 hours, and then I got it out last night, and Chad was like, it's just a little dry. I'm like, I worked on this sucker for 8 hours, had to come in, put the water in here and there. It was dry and terrible. And you know what? I'd rather go outside and unload hay.
It was a pizza night, huh?
Pizza night.
Pizza night tonight for payback for yesterday. You know what? Feed yourself. Fine.
See, we have this thing in our household. I am the cook. I cook. I don't bake. I'm not a good baker. But Jennifer's a very good baker. She used to be a baker at one point. And so anything that comes up that looks extremely yummy that's baked, she has to do. So hopefully this weekend it's going to be a sticky bun recipe we saw on the TV yesterday. And to continue my list before you guys poo-poo the whole thing, a lame husband can still work. That's true. I've been lame and I have worked. A husband with a bellyache doesn't have to be walked, but I have to concede a little bit. We are the biggest whiners in the world. Guys just
whiny
know how to whine.
Baby. Whiny baby.
I mean, when we're sick, we are kind of whiny. So I don't know about that one. We might have to throw that one out. Husbands
We'd
don't
like
try
to
and scratch
you
their
walk.
You know, I don't know about like this one either. Husbands don't try to scratch their heads on your back. Maybe not our heads. Continuing on. They're better able to understand puns. That's a gift. If they're playing hard to catch, you may be able to run them down. That's true. When have you known a husband ever to play hard to catch?
That's true.
It's good. Kind of not
real. If he's playing
they
hard
know
to
their
catch,
name.
He's probably not your husband. Or maybe shouldn't be.
They know their name. I do know my name. I get that. They pay their own bill. That's true. I do pay my own bill.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
What?
That they pay
their
own
bills.
Yeah. They apologize when they step on your toes. And that is proof from yesterday, as we say I'm sorry 1.9 million times in our lifetimes. My horse has never said he's sorry. They seldom refuse to get in the vehicle. We love driving places. That's good. We don't panic. We don't panic. Yelling and running all through the house when you leave us alone. Matter of fact, we're rather happy when you leave us alone at times. So
unless the cable's
so, you know,
out.
That, oh, that's true. Yeah,
if
we don't
leave,
like
if
cables,
I leave
yeah.
Glenn at home and the cable is out, so he can't get on his computer. You better, yeah. You're going to come back and the carpet's going to be torn up. Yeah.
Is he whinnying out the window at you as you drive away?
Yeah.
And for a nominal fee, we hire people to clip us. And I go to this great place called Knockouts with all these beautiful girls who cut men's hair. And Jennifer can tell you that I religiously go because I enjoy my day out at Knockouts. I have
a
spa day. Yeah, I go to the spa.
Glenn goes bunch of girls. It's a bunch of girls scantily clad, cutting your hair, leaning all in front of you and stuff. I don't know how you let them do it, Jennifer. That's
no,
like going to Hooters to get your hair cut. It's Hooters
it
haircut.
It is, actually. And I'll have you know, it's right beside Hooters. So when you go there, you have to have lunch at Hooters, too. So you've got that absolutely right.
You're so bad.
Men rarely pee in the middle of the bed, day in and day out.
Yep.
It does happen, though.
No, I can honestly say that I've been pretty good at that one. Men don't usually trample their dinner into their beds or eat the bedding, and that's true. We
yeah.
I very rarely eat in bed, actually. And you don't have to bolt the door every time you leave them for a few minutes to stop them running back to their friends. So there you go. There's all the things that we are better at than your horses. I just want to make that clear because we're doing the Horse Husbands episode next week on Stable Scoop, and I just wanted to sort of set the stage today for what's coming on Stable Scoop. We're going to be talking about how we are so superior and how we put up with you for so long.
You know what I'm hearing a bunch of blah, 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 because I have a list. Now, granted, I love my husband way more than my horses. I love him more than anything in the entire world.
Uh-huh.
However...
Uh-huh.
Your list needed a counterpoint, which is the horse's advantage. And so I found a list of why horses are better than husbands. And
wait
number
minute, wait
one.
A wait a minute. That's not in the show notes here. I don't think we can do that because it's not the show notes.
I'm going to squeeze it in before our first guest, whether you like it or not. Okay, the horse's advantage. If your horse doesn't work out, you can sell him for money.
Well, the divorce rate, let's be fair there. The divorce rate's 55%, so I would say you women do that anyway.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay somebody to take him. You sell them. Your horse doesn't have in-laws. Now, granted, I love my in-laws, and they are coming to visit on Monday, so that'll be exciting.
Oh, you didn't tell us that.
That's another story. Don't get me off this list. You don't have to worry about your kids looking like your horse. You shouldn't have to worry about looking like your husband. You don't have to iron your horse's back.
Well, in your case, that's a good thing.
Again, my husband is in
the... I can defend Chad here. You know, he's a good-looking guy.
I know. He's a cutie. And again, he's exempt from this list. And if you guys tell him I read this, you're all in big trouble. You never have to iron their saddle pads. This is what I love. If you get too fat for the current one you have, you can just shop for a bigger one. You can get one that can hold your fat. I love this one. Horses actually smell good when they sweat.
Yeah, I'd argue with that one. They smell like a freaking wet horse.
Oh, my gosh.
We have that manly, musky odor when we sweat that women love.
It smells like BO. But you've got to remember that women love the smell of horse hoof on a farrier. I mean, that turns some women on. So I love the smell of horse sweat. Just makes you feel like you did something. You're working hard, your horse sweats, and they smell good. Another good thing about horses is you can actually repair their clothes with duct tape. But
yes.
If you cut a hole in your jeans, we couldn't duct tape your jeans.
No, we could.
You know what? That entirely depends on how redneck you are.
Mm-hmm. You make a good point. You can actually force horses to stay in good physical conditions, and you can use a whip. if necessary. So you're not running fast enough. Here's my whip. I'm going to make you run faster. I love that one.
I'll give you that one. I don't think Jennifer's ever whipped me before, so I got to give you that one.
You know what Jennifer probably has had to deal with is you wanting your turn at the computer. Horses don't want their turn at the computer. You don't have to share your computer with horses.
I'll tell you what, Jamie, all of the years we've been together, we have never shared a computer.
I've always made sure she had her own.
Never.
That goes the other way. Nobody's sharing my computer is the way it is. So, you know, there's a reason my name's Glenn the Geek is because I get the computer.
Yeah.
That's why I have like three of them around me.
Here's a real important one. I really appreciate this one. Horses may turn white as they get older, but they don't go bald. Horses, you can actually restrain them by any means necessary. You can twitch them. You can grab their shoulder and twist it. You know, you can do whatever you need. They learn to accept restraint. Husbands, not so much.
Not so much.
Big thing about horses, they don't care what you look like. As long as you have a carrot or like a peppermint or something like that, they will be excited to see you no matter what. Your horse, Glenn, will not think a new pair of shoes every single month is excessive. They won't. Who would complain about that? You, a man.
I have to give you that one. Okay, I think that's kind of excessive.
Finally, the reason that your horse is better than your husband is because your horse will be glad of the company if you go shopping for another one. And your friends will approve of you keeping more than one as this is more natural. So you're allowed to have more than one horse, not allowed to have more than one husband. So,
Nor probably do you want one, more than one husband.
So you can have your little husband advantage. I have my horse advantage.
I'm seeing a trend here. Every day I come up with something really cool. You try and outdo me. I'm seeing a trend.
Listen, I have to defend. How many listeners are women to this show? Thank you.
99.9%. Yeah.
Exactly. You and Robert Dunn, and you may have your brother Wayne listening, and those guys. But I think that it's mostly women. I have to defend the women. That's my job. That's what I do.
Okay, you know what? That sounds to me like the gauntlet has been thrown. We need more guy likes on our Facebook page. Come on, guys. Have a good work. Come forward.
Sounds good.
Speaking of which, we went over, and to get you off the topic, we went over 1,700 yesterday, picked up another 100 this week. We got to keep that up. So keep telling your friends on Facebook about it. And don't forget, you can join us for the conversation that goes on Facebook during the show. And I think we're coming up on our first guest here in a bit. So why don't we talk about the commercial and get you off of why your horses are so much better than us.
That's why I quit. Hey, listen, you can visit your friends at EasySignOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. As you guys know, I have a sign from EasySignsOnline.com, and I actually decorated it yesterday. I put a little flower box around it, put flowers underneath it. It's so cute. I'll post a picture later. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all the pricing up front. Now, this week, their special is they're featuring unique and popular pet memorial markers, so you can honor your pet with an affordable, unique pet memorial marker. These long-lasting, maintenance-free indoor or outdoor memorial marker signs are a great way to convey your sentiments and honor your lost dog, horse, cat, etc. Personalize it further by submitting your own color photo, or you can choose from one of the many animal graphics available online. That's ezsignsonline.com. Check out their website today. Free shipping promotion going on this week for any order over $100. That's ezsignsonline.com, 1-800-640-8180.
Hey, Jamie, I just noticed that Wayne from Easy Signs Online has just called in, so let's see what he's up to. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you. What's up?
Well, I heard the sad story you mentioned yesterday about Michelle and Rick losing their Cleveland Bay horse, Sprite. I'd like to offer them a free personalized pet memorial marker to honor their horse, Sprite.
Oh wow! Well, that's really nice.
Nice.
Yeah,
my wife and I are animal. Look, yeah. Go ahead. My wife.
I was just
going to
say, I'm sure they will appreciate that. I'm sure she will appreciate that. And on your markers, what's really cool, because I've seen a couple of them, is you can actually put a picture of your horse, right?
Yeah, you can put a full color photo of your horse on the marker. That's what makes it unique. And just put me in touch with them, and we'll work out the details, and we'll get a picture of the horse, and we'll send them a free pet memorial marker.
Well, that's very nice. That's a round of applause for EasySignsOnline.com, and that's a nice thing that you're doing for our friend Michelle and Rick. We appreciate that. And we'll definitely get you in touch with them. All right. Thanks, Wayne.
That's why I love our sponsors. They're so nice. That's so sweet. Yeah. And you know what's difficult about that situation is, and I know from experience after losing my horse of 18 years, it's tough to make those plans, and it's tough to go and try to do something like that so close to after you lose a friend like that, because you know you're just so emotional. And I mean, so that's really nice that he just jumped right in and is going to send them that. So that's actually, I mean, it may sound weird, but that's a nice thing to do for your friends if they're kind of in that situation, because it's hard to go on and purchase something like that for yourself because you're too emotional. But like a husband to get something like that for the wife to honor that would be really awesome.
Yep, I agree. That was very nice. Cool. I'll make sure that and she listens to the show pretty much every day. So, Michelle, we'll make sure you get in touch with Wayne and we get your marker out to you. I think that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have one quick story here before we get to our guest, and that is, you remember we had the show about Clydesdales here a while back? We had the trainer guy on who trained Clydesdales for the commercials. Well,
that was like 3 days ago.
Was it really? Seems like a month ago.
I remember.
Well, you can actually on February 5th, you can actually go to their farm, and they have an open house where you can go at the Anheuser-Busch farm, where you can go and you can meet the horses and you can watch them doing their daily thing and training and all of that stuff. And I think this is at the stables at Fort Collins, at the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, and you can just stop in and watch what goes on with the horses, and they actually let you in and let you come out around and see and meet them and all of that. So that's pretty cool. Just thought I'd mention that.
So, sorry for not knowing, and sorry if you don't know this. Where is Fort Collins?
Fort Collins, and I think this one, they have a couple of I'm looking here. They have a couple of breweries around that actually have the horses. This one's at Fort Collins, which is...
Colorado.
Yes, in Colorado. That's correct. Yep, and that's in Fort Collins, Colorado.
You're a faster Googler.
On 2351 Bush Drive. Yes, you are a faster Googler.
You know what, Jennifer, why do they mean a faster Googler? Because she only has one computer, so she doesn't have to spend 3 minutes figuring out which computer her mouse is on.
Mm-hmm. See? You don't need all that stuff. It's more productive to have one. Thank you.
Sorry.
I love what they're saying, by the way. I love what they're saying in this article about the Clydesdales. You just don't realize... These guys are 2,000 pounds. There's a three-year-old that they've mentioned in this article that he feeds it 50 pounds of grass hay a day, 50 pounds of hay, and 6 quarts of grain twice daily. So we're talking 12 quarts of grain and 50 pounds of hay. That's a growing boy. He's not even full size yet.
We were talking about draft horses the other day, and somebody said to me, is it unusual? I have a friend who gives their draft horse a bale of hay a day. And I said, nope, that's, you know, our draft would eat a bale of hay a day. When they get up to that 1 ton range, they need some food, you know,
yeah, you got to kind of feed them. But actually we have our guest on the line from Norco, California. Lisa Rogers is on the phone, and you know, I got to tell you, first of all, we've had Norco in the news on the show for quite some time because they had some flooding. We'll talk to her a little bit about that. But first of all, good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Well,
hey, Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you.
I got to tell you that for some reason it seems like I didn't know about Norco, California at all. And since I've met you guys and started talking to you, it seems like Norco comes up all the time. One of my neighbors, she's like, yeah, I used to live in Norco. And then down the street, oh, yeah, we love Norco, California. I'm like, Norco, what is this Norco place? So then I go and I'm trying to buy a pony for one of my students. And we go there and we look at this pony and we fall in love with this pony. And she's like, well, hate to tell you this, but we've got some people from Norco, California that want the pony. And I was like, Norco! No! I'm like, Norco is everywhere and they want the pony. Oh, no. So, yeah, we had to wait for her to turn the pony down. Fortunately, she did. So now I think we're going to get the pony. But I was like, gosh, Norco's everywhere. They're invading my brain. but another question. How are you guys after all the flooding that we reported?
Yeah, that it was. You know, one of those 100-year situations, the rain that we had in December, it was a warm rain. So instead of the rain falling in the mountains turning to snow, it actually ran off. And our river that runs through the Santa Ana River that runs through Norco actually changed. There was so much water. The river actually changed course. I mean, it created its own new channel and went through what was our riding stable here in town and literally washed it away. And we ended up losing a horse that the water, they weren't, our Norco Animal Rescue Team, the fire department wouldn't allow them to go in to evacuate the horses because it was a flowing river through the river stable, and they insisted that Swift Water Rescue be on hand because it was dangerous for the rescuers as well. And they ended up losing, from the stories that I heard, they ended up losing. The river just washed a corral and a horse away.
Oh, my gosh, that's so sad. Oh, I'm sorry I asked, but I'm glad that you guys are, sounds like you're coming out of it, and they rebuilding and everything?
They were able to, I understand, they were able to rescue 34 horses. There was only one horse lost. So they, you know, that there is a silver lining on that. But, no, I mean, we go down to the Hidden Valley Wildlife Preserve because that's adjacent to us, and it really is overwhelming to see what the power of water can do. It's going to take a while for them to get our trails back down there, and we have quicksand down there too, so it's really, really dangerous to even go down there and ride right now. So everybody,
remind me why people live in Norco. Remind me?
Starbucks, drive-thru. You can ride your horse through the drive-thru there. So just do that.
And you can ride your horse to go get ice cream.
See?
Okay. And then when you're done eating your ice cream, you can get swallowed up in the quicksand and never be seen again.
Well, you know, that's in a river bottom. We have 180 miles of trails that are safe to ride, so.
Well, so we're talking to you today because I guess this is pretty exciting. You guys are going to be part of a television show. Is that correct?
Yes, we are so excited about this, Best of America by Horseback.
Tell us about it.
Best of America by Horseback is a television show that's featured on RFD TV. And they travel not only the United States, but the world, and they profile really unique and scenic and beautiful historic places to ride your horse on a vacation, and that's what the show features. And this is the first time in the show's history that they've ever profiled a city. They normally go to private ranches or national parks, and they selected Norco to come and do. It's going to be 3 days, and they're going to be filming May 6th through 8th, and we have we're just so excited about it. It's going to be the vacation of a lifetime for somebody to come and really experience Norco in a way that they would never be able to.
Now, so, while they're filming, is this open to the public? Can people come out?
Yes. There is a fee to actually be on the ride. It's limited to 200 riders. But there's going to be so many other things happening in town during that 3 days. Mule specialist Steve Edwards is going to be here doing two clinics. Dave Robart from North Carolina, who's the inventor of the pinchless bit, will also be here in town doing a clinic. There's going to be two obstacle courses for the general public to come up and participate. There's a formal dinner. There's going to be a private concert. We're going to have autograph signing. There's going to be celebrities that will be coming in. And we'll be at Boot Barn for an autograph signing on Saturday. And then Dave Robart's going to be doing an in-house demonstration. You can actually talk to him about the technology of the pinchless bit at Thrifty Horse on Friday. We're going to be riding to the historical Lake Norconian on Saturday. It's kind of like our own little mini rose parade that we're putting on here. And we're going to have all of these people here in town, and the Wells Fargo Stagecoach is coming.
Oh, cool.
So we're really excited.
Lisa, me and my buddies, figuratively speaking, we want to create ourselves a little wagon train to go to California to participate in this event, May 6th through the 8th. And we're going to drag along a dozen of us and assorted horses. What are the accommodations going to be like in that? Because Norco's not a giant city. It's not Los Angeles.
No.
Hotel facilities, camping facilities with horses. Where would I go to find that kind of stuff? And what kind? And is that kind of thing available, or is it get a reservation now because you're going to run out of space?
I would recommend actually getting your reservation. You go to Best of America by Horseback website, and you download the registration form. And the way that we did it is we made it, you can do it all-inclusive. We are going to have dry camping available for people. There's going to be no charge.
What's dry
if
camping?
You need,
yeah, does that mean you're not allowed to drink at the campsite? Dry camping mean it's an alcohol-free campsite or what?
Dry camping is that there's no hookups, no electrical hookups for your trailer.
That's not camping, that's roughing it.
That's roughing it. But then you're allowed to drink, so you can be drunk while you're roughing it, it's fine.
Yeah.
So
you are okay. More than welcome to have libation while you're here in Norco.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. That's the only way that camping would be tolerable, actually, in my world.
Yeah.
And the campground is right down beside the quicksand, so... You know, they take care of the tourists that way.
But we have Hampton Inn is going to be our host hotel, and all you need to do that, all the information is on the registration, and we will have stalls available. People can actually bring their own portable stalls. A lot of people who do travel and do horse camping have their own portable corrals, but we will have corrals up there for individuals who don't want to do that. And everything is going to be up at our George Ingalls Equestrian Event Center. So all the registration, camping, the banquet, the concert, the pancake breakfast, our cowboy church, everything will be up there in that general facility. But we will also be running shuttles for people so that they don't have to unhook their trailer or their rigs. And we'll be shuttling them through town to lunch and shopping, and if they need to go to the grocery store. We really want people to come and have a really good time and be our guests.
Wow, that is a horse-friendly community. That really is. When you're doing all of that for horse people, you understand what we need. And I have to ask you, we lived in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, in the heart of Amish country, and the Walmart there was one of the only Walmarts in the country that had a 30-horse run-in shed where you could where the Amish could pull up and park their horses undercover while they went to the Walmart. So does the Hampton Inn there have a stables?
No, they don't, because of zoning. Yeah, because of the zoning and where the Hampton Inn is located, they couldn't do that. But eventually, we will have our Ingalls Event Center, Equestrian Event Center, will have barns and hookups, and so people can actually pull in there. We'll also have Silver Lakes, which that is what pretty much got annihilated in the floods. And we're actually happy that happened. As crazy as it sounds, we're almost happy that the flooding happened when it did, because it was a 100-year flood, and if Silver Lakes had been already built in there, it would have gotten destroyed. Millions of dollars of investment would have been destroyed. So now the Army Corps of Engineers can come in and they can make the necessary adjustments and corrections, you know, let's say, to prevent something like that happening again.
And what's Silver Lakes going to be?
Silver Lakes is going to be a multi-use complex that will host soccer and elite horse eventing competitions. Right now, there's a facility in San Juan Capistrano that's called the Oaks. The managing partner of that facility is moving that whole entire complex to Norco. So eventually, we will have Olympic time trials here in Norco, and it will be at Silver Lakes.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Fantastic. Yeah. Is the Oaks one of the O'Connor places?
That's the one in the Carolinas, isn't it?
I know they have one in Florida, and they have one in Virginia, so maybe not.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, good question. Just curious. So, listen, how can people find any of this information? Where can they go? Give us a website.
www.bestofamericabyhorseback.com. Or they can visit the City of Norco website, and then there's a link to Best of America by Horseback on the City of Norco website.
Okay.
And that is nha-norco.org for anybody who wants to go check that out. So, Lisa, thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning. We hope you guys have a great time out there at your big, what is it, May 6th through the 8th, right? So people have plenty of time.
May 6th through the 8th.
Plenty of time to go ahead and get their reservations made.
Post,
so, Lisa, thank you so much.
On the Facebook page. Yeah. Post the pics when they get there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're really hoping, you know, I'm going to say it again. I'm inviting you out as our guest to come out and do your show here live from Norco. We would love to have you out here.
We're going to have to do that one of these days. That's not too far for you. We'll just meet you in Arizona and drive up together.
Yeah. Good luck, Lisa, getting them west of the Mississippi. It's really difficult to do. So we'll keep working on it, though. We'll keep working
on it.
You have a great day and good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, today's song is a little bit of Templeton Thompson that we haven't heard before here on the show. And this particular song is called Must Have Been a Cowboy.
I'm a young woman, but I've got an old soul. You can see it when you look in my eyes. was born too late. I felt that way since I was just a child. Must have been a drifter, 'cause I still loved her own. Must have been a dreamer, 'cause the dream still isn't gone. And I still get this feeling time to time that I must have been a cowboy in another life. At night I dream of horses, feel the thunder of the herd, and the coolness of a frontier summer night. It ain't just imagination, like these memories are real, catching up to me in some forgotten time. Must have been a drifter, 'cause I still loved her own. Must have been a dreamer, 'cause the dream still isn't gone. I still get this feeling time to time that I must have been a cowboy in another life. Knew these stars when they were younger. I've been down.
That's Templeton Thompson, and you can visit her at templetonthompson.com. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning today, brought to you by EZSignsOnline.com. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. Go ahead.
And this half-hour sponsor is Equus Now. At Equus Now, you can enjoy fantastic customer service from knowledgeable horse folks that ride, care for, and enjoy horses just like you do. Whether you shop on the fantastic EquusNow.com website, or its lightning-fast shipping or eye-popping 18,000-square-foot store in Lewis Center, Ohio. That's just north of Columbus, Ohio. You're going to love it. You're going to love everything about Equus Now. And just for the Horses in the Morning listeners, go to EquusNow.com and receive 10% off your order and a free Equus Now tote bag by entering the discount code Horse Radio. That's all in caps and all one word, Horse Radio. And you know, want to hurry in there and do that. It's a limited time offer, but we're talking 10% off your next order and a free Equus Now tote bag just because you're a listener to the Horse Radio Network. So that code again is Horse Radio, all caps, all one word. Well, Jamie, what else do we have to talk about? You know, they announced the horse of the year for the drivers, for the what am I trying to say here? Let me try. For the Trotters and
Trotter
Painters.
Of the Year.
That's correct. Yeah, Trotter of the Year. Rock and Roll Heaven was the horse who won after a 10-race winning streak and picked up another victory on Sunday and was named Horse of the Year and retired to stud after a 3-year-old season. They don't keep him around very long. and won 16 of 21 races and got 123 of the 131 votes that were cast by the U.S. Harness Riders Association. I didn't even know there were 131 U.S. Harness Riders. That
I'm
was
telling
news
you, it's a world of its own. How many times have you been to Red Mile Racetrack in Lexington?
I know, and it's beautiful. It's fun. I'll tell you, I almost prefer going to Red Mile than I do Keeneland, just because they have a lot of fun stuff going on there. They have bands. They have all kinds. It's just fun. You know, they just make
it
a fun time.
It's a great time. It is a great night out. And I think, like, admission's like a dollar. I used to go there in college all the time. It was so much fun. So what I would do is I would go to Red Mile Racetrack, and for some reason, I'm not saying that it's a crooked sport at all, but it just seems to me that I would always put the $2 bet on the 99-1 odds. Every race, 99-1 odds, I would always put $2 on it, and I would win at least once a day, or once every time we win. It's amazing. I was just like, because it looks like they're holding those horses back sometimes. I don't understand driving at all, so I guess sometimes you do have to lean on the reins, but I'm like, he's pulling back. He's pulling back. He's slowing the horse down. They're like, no, they're balancing through the turn, because those turns are banked. They bank
yes,
those
they
turns
are.
Like
yeah,
in
they
NASCAR.
Are.
It's really, really fun to go there.
It is fun to go watch, and they make it entertaining for the kids, and you know they just have good food. It's just everything about Red Mile. It's so historic a track. It's been there forever, and it's kind of interesting because it's right in town and just outside of the University of Kentucky campus. So I can see why college kids end up going there because it's right there. They can walk there.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun.
It's a good time. Although I agree with you, I'd rather watch flat racing as far as the racing itself. I just think it's more exciting. You know, it just goes faster and it's a little bit more exciting. It takes a while for the drivers to get around. Although I'd like to do it sometime. I think that would be a great deal of fun to drive a. I've never driven on a racetrack before. I'd give that a shot.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you know what else they do at Red Mile, and this is actually incredibly exciting, is I think it was once a year, as I recall, that they would do quarter horse races. And, man, you want to talk about exciting because those races are so short, but they come out of the gates with the stick going, come on, blah, 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 blah. And they just, I mean, it's so fast. You just have no idea how fast they can go. So it's pretty pretty exciting place to go when you're in Lexington. Definitely add that to the list of places to visit. I don't know why I'm doing a commercial for Red Mile Racetrack right now. I just thought it was fun.
I was just going to say, last year we went to, for the first time ever, we went to see the quarter horse races. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The speed, it's just, I had never seen them before. We'd only ever seen traditional flat racing or harness racing. But the speed, it's just like the race is over like that, you know? And those horses can fly. They just can fly.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Well, hey, I've got another story for you, too, because the AAEP, which is the American Association of Equine Practitioners, which is your vet, is a member of AAEP. Every vet is. They put out, as someone who has a retired racehorse and dealing on our show like we do with Rerun and Canter and all those organizations, the AAEP put together a whole guideline on transitioning retired racehorses. And I think you can get it on the AAEP website. It is actually fascinating. The whole reading about this kind of stuff, they go through like an introduction, I'm looking at it right now, and then they go through like varying degrees of a physical assessment, level one through level four, level one being like pasture sound and level four being like we're going to Rolex. And they go through like every condition of what might potentially be wrong with a racehorse. And it tells you what level they can compete with this injury. And then it tells you how much it's going to cost to fix it or to diagnose it. Or it's actually, I've read it like twice already because, I mean, they start out with the fetlock and then they go through the knee joint and then they go to the foot and what problems might happen with a retired racehorse in the foot and then the prognosis and then how much they can do and then stifles and tendons and ligaments and every single potential thing that could be wrong with a retired racehorse. And it's just absolutely educational. I'll have to post that link on our Facebook page right now because It's really cool. I don't know if, does that sound really boring to you, Glenn?
Yeah, kind of. But I can see the importance of it, though. If you're looking at getting a retired racehorse and you don't know much about, you know, about rehabilitating a racehorse, you know, I can see the importance of it. But, yeah, for horse husbands, it's probably great sleeping reading.
Well, it's kind of cool, too, for each discipline has most common injuries and most common stress points. So it's really kind of neat that they put that together, because if you're not familiar with horse racing from the point of view of what makes it, what's most likely to bother a racehorse, that's really useful stuff. That, oh, but wow, that's a common thing in a racehorse, versus if you were to find a show hunter that was at the same point in his career, you might be keeping a close eye out for very, very different soundness issues. So I thought that was a really useful, and I thought personally, I don't know about you, Jamie, that it was really written in a way that was pretty understandable for somebody who hadn't had any proper veterinary education. It was written for people who have horses to understand.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I liked about it, is it's very understandable. It's not like, you know, they're going through joint and tendon names that you can't pronounce and medications that you can't say or whatever. So
right.
I thought it was really very well written for a non-veterinarian, because how many times do you have your vet come out and they're like, oh, well, intrachondroidal osteomyelitis, and you're like, what are you talking about?
My eyes glaze over.
And then all they really mean is, you know, sedate him.
There we go.
Why did you say that? Talk English, please. So this one is in English. And then it goes through, this part's pretty cool. They got the data from Cantor, which is the nonprofit place that does thoroughbred retiring and finds them homes and all that, kind of like rerun Cantor. And it goes through, like, all the different things that they've had, and the 1,850 horses that have been taken in by Cantor. They have done, 1,200 have had no vet intervention, and the average length of ownership is 4 months for the horses that don't need intervention. That goes to show you how much they're spending on these horses every month, because it's a nonprofit. 290 had surgeries. The reason that most of them did not get, this was pretty interesting, the reason that most of them did not get adopted, cribbing. People can't take cribbers when you have a boarding situation.
Yeah, people don't like cribbers.
Didn't people ever hear of something called a cribbing muzzle or a
cribbing
strap? You know?
I know. They,
I don't get the whole,
lot of
I
people
can't have
won't
a cribber
use,
at my barn.
A lot of people won't use cribbing collars. They think they're cruel or inhumane or whatever, but
it's,
you know
what?
It's something
called a cribbing muzzle. It works beautifully. They can't crib through it. It doesn't squeeze their little neck. It's awesome.
The muzzle, but yeah, you're okay with muzzling because you have a fat horse.
Well, no, a cribbing muzzle is completely different than a grazing muzzle. From cheekbones down, it doesn't look anything the same.
Oh, I don't. Cribbing is like smoking to me. It's just one of those things that you're like, why can't you just stop?
If I
you know what
between
a more
a cribber, a stall walker, and a weaver, I'll take a cribber any day of the week.
I was just going to say, weavers drive me nuts. Weavers are the ones, I'll take a cribber over a weaver. Oh, the weaver's just
my horse is a weaver.
I just can't handle that going back and forth.
Oh, geez. Well, we finally see, and again, the weaver, I thought it was pretty easy to cure. He just needs to be turned out. If he gets excited in his stall, he's like, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm so excited. And he just rocks back and forth from right leg to left leg, from right, left, right, from right, left, right. So, or left front. So I kind of thought it was funny, but I definitely, the second he starts weaving, I turn him out. I'm like, get out, go, 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 go. But he does it. It shows a lot.
See, the weaver I've
like,
had didn't matter. They weaved. If there was
even
a,
in the
something
field?
To hang their neck over, they weaved.
But not when they're turned out.
Oh, yeah, they'd go up to the stand. They'd stand at the fence and weave.
Oh, I'm glad he doesn't.
Because they
that.
Get a high from it, just like they do when they crib. You spin yourself around in circles till you get dizzy. It kind of gives you a floaty feeling. Well, the horses do the same thing. And then when you add on top of it all the crap it does to their legs, I'm like, oh, no, thank you.
Maybe that's why my horse has suspensory problems.
Mm.
It's not the jumping, it's the weaving. He doesn't weave too terribly bad, though. But this AAEP guidelines goes on to tell you, and just interesting as far as if you don't have a racehorse, they go to tell you all the costs of examinations, radiographs, exams, surgeries, injections, farrier,
yeah,
you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's and then the treatment for ulcers, which, good Lord,
yeah,
if you can,
that's
go
pretty much standard,
like,
isn't it? Yeah.
Kentucky Performance Products or Omega Alpha, those would be better things than spending $40 a day on Gastroguard. So it goes through all that. And anyway, it was really interesting. I'd love to talk to somebody that wrote it. There's like six authors, I think, as far as who wrote it. So anyway, interesting. I'll put the link up on our Facebook page. I'm sure Glenn is asleep right now.
I heard him fall off of his ball over there. I heard him.
I'm here.
I'm sorry.
I was just reading about the, remember a couple of days ago, we had on the show, we had Allison Springer a week or two ago about the Derby Cross that's coming up, the PRO Derby Cross. Well, on March the 5th, which is this Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, you can actually go to a website and watch it online. So they'll be broadcasting it live, a live webcast, so you can watch the whole thing online. I think that's fun. I'm glad they're doing that. So we'll get to watch the Derby Cross on Friday night online. And I'll post a link on our Facebook page to it. It's kind of a long link, but it's at iequine.com. I never heard of iequine.com. Have you heard of iequine.com?
Yeah, sure. Visit that every day. No, I've never heard of it.
I'm looking to see what iEquine is, and it's a website.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Sherlock.
I just thought I'd help out.
.com giveaway. Hey, while you're looking that up, I've got some exciting news for the eventers all the way around and people in New Zealand, our listeners in New Zealand. Blythe Tate, eventing extraordinaire. I mean, phenomenal guy, Olympian. He's coming back. He's coming out of retirement. First, you got Mark Todd coming back out of retirement, and now you've got Blythe Tate. Blythe retired when he was 43 years old, and he's one of the most successful inventors in history. And I guess New Zealand really, I mean, when you have Blythe Tate and Mark Todd on your team and they both retire, they struggled immensely. So, you know, they want to, Blythe said that the big appeal is the games being in London. So he is coming out of retirement and shooting for the Olympics. Only Blythe Tate and Mark Todd could do that. They said it would be much difficult if it was in Beijing again or something like that. So welcome back, Blythe Tate. Yay! Eventing is going to step it up right now. I hope that they come to Rolex. Wouldn't that be cool?
You know, all the young up-and-coming riders that are going to struggle to get on the team are gnashing their teeth, though.
Hey, it's all for the team. All for the team.
Well, we're having a little bit of – I wanted to throw this out there. We're having a little bit of trouble getting hold of Angela from Horse Girl TV. Angela, if you're listening, give us a call at 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. We've been trying to reach you, and we've had a little bit of trouble, but I just saw she posted it on Facebook that she was going to be on the show this morning. So,
if you're not Angela, walk up and you want to call, you can.
You can, too.
Somebody call.
And I just got an email from our friend, actually a Facebook message from our friend Curtis down in Florida, who is the Pony Club dad and our listener, and he says he has a special invitation to extend to all of us on April 8th through the 10th. They're hosting the Sunshine Region Pony Club Show Jumping Rally in Gainesville, Florida. And he went on to invite us to come down and record down there. But he also said that a friend of ours, Templeton Thompson, is going to be there. She's going to be performing at their dinner. So go, way to go, Tempe. And then he adds a little caveat because he knows me pretty well. He said, and you can tell he's a listener, he said, we could easily arrange for a Caspian-pulled chariot to be here waiting for you. How cool would that be?
Oh, that's awesome. Hey,
I could be like Ben-Hur. I could dress up in my little loincloth. I could dress up in my loincloth, and I could put little razors on the wheels, and I could drive around in circles really fast.
What's funny about that is it a little emasculating to be driven by ponies when you're dressed in swaddling clothes and got razors on your wheels?
Actually, I think they actually did use some small stout ponies back then. They would put them three or four across. But they did use ponies back then for pulling.
And
I'm ready. I don't
care. Never, ever, ever again talk about wearing a loincloth. That would be great because that was too much.
Oh, okay. No problem. All right. Yeah, I can. I just thought you'd like that little touch. Well, Angela heard us and called in. Hi, Angela. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? I'm so sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. I kind of figured you were listening, so I just threw it out there. And I know Jennifer was trying to get a hold of you, and there was just a little mix-up. So we're here now.
Yay. Thank you.
We'll probably introduce you. This is Angela from Horse Girl TV, and I hear you just got back from a trip.
Yes, I did. And I have still a tiny bit of jet lag, but it was all so worth it. I got to go back out to the Pacific Northwest this weekend. So, we talked last time that I went to the USCFL program. I did Session A this past weekend with Session B. And so Session B was with Trent Atkins. It was awesome. We got to do some practice judging. And, of course, it was at Devonwood Equestrian Center, which is the most amazing facility one of the most amazing facilities I've ever seen, but by far the premier place on the West Coast to go. And then also tagged on an interview out there, so I got to do a little bit of work as well as get some education in.
Well, and so now are you an official judge-like person? I could go out and do dressage, and you would say good things about me?
Oh, hardly. Of course, I would say good things about you, but if you rode with technical proficiency, but no.
What's that again? What do I have to ride?
With technical proficiency.
I'll have to look that up. Not quite sure what that is.
I doubt you would be
giving me good scores.
Well, if you rode well, we just have to see, Glenn. But the L program is an involved process. There's the A, B, and C sessions, and then you also have to get into the D1, D2, and then the final exam session as well. So it's a fairly large commitment for people to take on, and not surprisingly, it's quite challenging to get into these sessions. They fill up as quickly as they're launched. So, but the education's amazing. I highly recommend anyone who's interested in dressage and that has the qualifications, the basic qualifications to get accepted, which it's not that much for the L program, to go do it, because you learn so much. Even if you don't want to be a judge, you learn so much just from listening about how to write tests, and it's been educational to me for a training standpoint.
Who thought it would be such a process to learn how to judge people? I mean, people do that all the time, just naturally.
Right. Well, and a lot of people have it. But they have a natural eye. But then they tell you how to take. If you have that natural eye for things, they tell you how to take. Well, if the shoulder's dropping in on this circle, and this is what happens in the process of a circle, they have this whole standard of. You take your basics plus or minus the criteria of the movement, and it's a little formula that they have, and it gives you your modifier for what your score should be.
See, that's the difference, Glenn, is you have to learn how to judge constructively, not just judge like, oh, my God, look how big that girl's butt
is. Boy, she looks like crap. That doesn't work.
That guy is a horrible rider. You actually learn to judge constructively and help these people. So,
I think we should have a... Oh, I have a great idea. This is brilliant. We should have a dressage show sometime judged entirely by horse husbands.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are inciting a riot. And there'll be a lot of guys in the doghouse when they get home from horse shows. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, you could put a rule that you can't judge your own spouse.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah,
no.
Yep.
You guys... Let's be honest here. Let's get down to the bottom of it. Is if we had a horse husband judged dressage show, there would be, however, I think there were 17 husbands. There'd be 17 sleeping men. in the judging booth. Because, I'm sorry, men think dressage, if you're not a dressage rider, and Robert Dunn's going to kick my butt, but if you're not a dressage rider, dressage is so boring to watch. Like, lower-level dressage shows, I'll be at one in 2 weeks. Trust me, I know, I'm riding it and I'm bored. So, you know, you have to really like it and really be excited about it, and like Angela said, really know about it to appreciate it. Look at that shoulder's not dropping in on the circle. Look what that's doing to the horse's inside hind leg. That kind of stuff. I love that stuff. But
yay, Jamie, you're, oh. Yeah, that's exciting. You gave me a little tingle. Good luck in yourself.
Well, next weekend I'll be taking a couple students to a horse show, and I'll be riding in it as well. So a little lower level dressage show. I'm excited. Chad's like, do I have to go?
Nice.
I'm like, no. You don't have to go.
Good
honey.
Man, good man. Angela, you did some techie stuff while you were out there. Tell us about that.
Yes.
Or what you can. I know you're going to have it in the show coming up, but can you tell us just what it was?
Well, I got my tech fix for the weekend. I got to interview, it's an event services firm. It's called Devon Wood Competition Services, and it's co-owners Evan and Noah Ratner. And they're former dressage riders. They got started in the whole dressage world by actually being riders. And then it sort of evolved into them working with e-scribing. And their family has a tech background, so it was kind of a natural evolution for them to gravitate towards ways to improve horse sport with high tech, you know, high technology. And what they're trying to do is they have, well, a lot of what they do is they go out to major shows. Like, they're actually going to Del Mar, I think, in like a week or so. It's a CDI down there. It's called the Dressage Affair. And I think it's the largest CDI that the Dressage Affair has ever put on. So they go down, they set up competition services. They do e-scoring, live scoring, where you can, like, go to a kiosk and check your scores immediately as they're coming up, sort of thing. Like, your scores will be posted before you're out of the ring, sort of thing. But then on an educational side, I can't remember the name of the technology that they use, but it's a system where, you know, you can listen in to judges' comments, and just to get to listen to judges' commentary, especially at these CDIs, I think is amazingly educational as well. But they do all sorts of shows, and then they also do the competition services at Devon, which again is all pretty much pre-wired in for this this stuff. But they want to. I think the long-term goal is to be able to reach out to anyone from a schooling show all the way up to a CDI, so it's like transparent across disciplines, across the sport, that everybody has access to all of these really cool tools. You know, so you're at a horse show, you have your iPhone or your iPad with you, and you want to keep up with the scores, that you don't have to walk down to the end of the alley to the show office to check it. You can just check it on your iPhone. And I think this is a lot of neat stuff that's already coming, or that's already in works to come. So
wow,
it was
that's
just,
cool.
It was amazing. It was just fun to get to talk high-tech stuff with cool people. And I started digitizing it last night, and a lot of times I get so engaged in the content I'm digitizing, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, oh, this is awesome, and what both Evan and Noah are saying is just fun. And I thought, okay, I need to focus on actually digitizing and taking time codes down, and I can watch this content later.
You know,
so I get so engaged
with
watching.
What I'm getting out of this is eventually my iPhone is going to actually ride my horse for me and then report the score back to me that my iPhone got from my horse. I'm not going to need to do anything.
No. All you have to do is ride your test and everything else is taken care of.
Not my iPhone's going to ride my test in about 6 months. He's going to, whatever the guy's name is from the Apple store, is going to figure that out, and he's going to put my iPhone on the back of my horse. He's going to communicate. The iPhone is going to communicate with animals.
You're gonna have little you're going to have little remote controls.
Exactly.
Heaven. It's a whole new world of push-button horse, I guess, which
that
I
is the
firmly
ultimate.
Believe does not exist.
That's great.
I don't think my horse would go for that either, to be honest with you.
And, well, But with these guys, all of the things that they're doing, and they're staying right on, like, you know, you say bleeding edge. I think they are right there on top of all the new stuff that is happening. And I think from what I got from chatting with these guys is they are driving the direction that we should be going with high-tech stuff in the horse world, pretty much. They're in Oregon, you know, so they're right there in the hub of a lot of major high-tech firms. But they're basically just, like, poised to provide live results throughout one of the largest EDIs on the West Coast, which is that dressage affair. So, and I think they might even be, the dressage affair, I think they might even be turning away entries now. I think they're, like, packed for a CDI, so.
Wow. Well, listen, Angela, I hate to cut you short because we got to you a little bit late and we're out of time. But let's keep in touch about this whole dressage show and having our horses be ridden by our iPhones. And we might have something here.
I want to hear how your post how you did it, how you and your students do at your competition, and good luck.
Well, thank you. We'll talk to you right after it, actually, probably in about 2 weeks we talk to you. So I'll keep you well informed. My 72-year-old student is doing her first dressage show, so she's super excited.
Oh,
and, I know. Mary Lou is the best, so she's doing her first show, and then I'll be out there to help her and to ride, too. So we will definitely keep you posted. We my goal at this show is, you know, to stay in the arena throughout the entirety of the test. So I'm having high goals.
Nice.
Listen, thank you so much, Angela.
Thanks for having me on.
And of course, everybody can visit Angela's website at horsegirltv.com. And her Facebook page and all that stuff. She has everything. She's modern. Yeah, right.
One more thing,
yeah?
Guys. Can I throw in a little plug?
Yeah.
We are literally, you can count on one hand the amount of people we are away from reaching 3,000 Facebook fans today. So if anybody wants to like Horse Girl TV, they can do it at facebook.com/horsegirltv. And get
send us some of those fans.
Yeah, please. Definitely. So,
we're at 1,700.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, you got
right,
five
Angela.
More to go, Angela. Five more. I think we can help you get over that 3,000 today. So that's five more people need to go to Horse Girl TV on Facebook and follow her. And she posts some very good stuff there.
Thank you, guys.
All right, no problem. Thanks, Angela. So, like, we finally got Angela on the line there. I don't know. We had a little bit of a communications issue getting her on there. So you're not going to come watch me in my loincloth driving my Caspian with my chariot?
Again, Glenn, what did I say about the loincloth speak?
You said mention loincloths and chariots as many times as I can in one show. Is that what you said?
I'm pretty sure that is not what I said, but if that's how you're going to take it, at least wait till I'm not listening.
Listen to all the shows. Hey, I wanted to mention that the Western Radio Show had a terrific show come out yesterday. They did a little bit of a musical episode with an old cowboy that was absolutely terrific. Matter of fact, I think it was one of the best shows. He was great and got a little bit risque in parts, but he was terrific. I highly recommend you take a listen to the Western Radio Show this week. It was very good. Tack and Habits coming out later today. The Eventing Radio Show is coming out later today. And there is a breaking news just off the wires. Chris has just posted, and I'm going back to it right now. Give me a second. Chris has just posted something about the chef to keep position that we've been talking about for the eventers. She says Leslie Law and David O'Connor have been named to the USEF Chef to Keep Technical Advisor shortlist. So it looks like it's between Leslie Law and David O'Connor.
So not between – who was the other candidates that were on there? I'm trying to remember because you had Leslie Law and
Philip
David O'Connor.
Was on there.
Philip and Bobby Costello were going to do it together. And, gosh, there was just tons of people that put in for it. Jimmy Wofford was in for it. Wow, that's crazy. Interesting.
Yeah, so – I got to believe that it's going to end up being David O'Connor. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. But that's what she just posted, so that must just be out. breaking news here on Horses in the Morning. And, of course, you can listen to all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We almost have 2,000 followers on Twitter now at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, which is 7 my time. Awesome. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day, and wear your helmet.